Good evening, everyone. This is Wednesday, July 18th, and it's 8:45 p.m. New York time, and you are tuned into the Pacifica National Board, the Committee to Investigate Allegations of Racism and Sexism. And why don't we start with a roll call? Lydia, does anybody want to take the roll?
Well, you can do it.
I'll do it. Okay. Lydia Brisson?
Here.
A.C. Bird?
Here.
Lisa Davis? Here. Sovereign Dower? Evelyn Bethune? Laurie Taguma? Okay, well, right now we have three people from the committee present, which means you do not officially have a quorum, but we are expecting one of... Somebody's ringing. We are expecting
Hello?
One of the members...
Hello? Hi. How are you? Hold on just a second, because they're streaming on a call that I'm on.
All right, if you could...
Hi, Lisa, I'm here, but I have to get off. I have to take this other call, and it's not
okay,
dark.
No problem.
Okay,
no problem.
Sorry.
Right now we are, we decided that we would at least have a discussion. We are waiting for, another, committee member to come on so we can officially have a quorum. So, but in the meantime, we will not do any business, but we will, have a discussion of some of the things that we need to speak about to bring this meeting, this committee, to move this committee forward. And, now, the last place where we left off, we were discussing suggestions for a code of conduct. Okay. Hold on one second, a moment, please. Lydia had sent information pertaining to the code of conduct.
Now, I assume that we are going to, Madam Chair?
Yes?
Yeah, I assume that we're going to perhaps have a meeting in Los Angeles, where, in addition to this meeting. If I'm correct on that, unless Lydia has or you have some further information on the code of conduct, I will suggest that we move to section 6,
hold on,
consideration for establishing guidelines for the committee.
Hold on one second. In fact, that's where we had stopped off at the last meeting that we were having, because we had made suggestions to the proposed recommendation for a board of conduct, and Lydia had drafted that up and she sent that, which I just had in front of me. So bear with me one moment while I pull that up again. I just printed that out as well. Yeah, but I'm in agreement with that. Okay, now, did you have the chance to review that, AC?
I didn't review that, but I remember the conversations about it.
Right. Well, why don't we go on and at least I'll read out loud for those who are listening in terms of the possible motion that we are considering bringing forward to the governance board, in fact, because the governance board is working on a code of conduct, and we have suggested that we should give input to this code of conduct. So the draft that has been submitted before us again, and this is just a draft, it states, whereas the mission of Pacifica includes engaging in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, and whereas the Pacifica Foundation non-discrimination and anti-harassment policy includes, among others, the following provisions: conduct that denigrates or shows hostility or aversion toward an individual because of his slash her race, color, religion, national origin, age, disability, citizenship status, marital status, genetic predisposition, or carrier status, and sexual orientation or gender identity is strictly prohibited. Harassing conduct includes, but is not limited to, epithets, slurs, or negative stereotyping, threatening, intimidating or hostile acts, denigrating jokes and display or circulation in the workplace of written or graphic material that denigrates or shows hostility or aversion toward an individual or group, including through email. And whereas harassing and discriminatory statements and conduct as defined above by members of the Pacifica National Board or local station boards not only attack the individual person targeted, but also serve to stigmatize and discriminate against the targeted social group as a whole in a manner that directly contradicts the Pacifica mission. Hold on 1 second. Therefore, be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board determines as a policy matter that any of the conduct referred to in the Pacifica Foundation non-discrimination and anti-harassment policy constitutes a discriminatory act which, if found through due process to have been committed by a member of a local station board or the Pacifica National Board, shall warrant appropriate action such as training and or discipline. Principles of progressive corrective action and discipline will be followed in determining what action to take. So that's the draft that we are going to discuss in detail tonight, in more detail, I should say.
Well, actually, I think it's the summary draft covers a lot of what we've historically covered in Pacifica. That sort of related to the COI, you know, the Committee of Inclusions rules, and it also related to the other provisions that were cited. So I think, for my part, that this should be a draft that we agree to and send it forward to the Governor's Committee to be considered by their, from us to them for their code of conduct, because it clearly spells out what the issues are, and so it could be broken down in that way to include all the central issues that ought to be considered and codified, the process by which we, you know, learn, which we can use as guidelines for the network.
AC, hold on 1 second, a moment, please. Hold on.
We started screening, although we don't have a form, but we said we'll have a discussion.
I'm sorry for that interruption.
So my recommendation is, since Livia drafted based on our conversation, there's no disagreements from you, then I would suggest that we recommend that this be submitted to the Governance Committee for a consideration of their structuring out the guidelines governing Pacifica with respect to the
I do not disagree with you there, but I think that we would, if we don't, and we could ask when Lydia comes back on, who's a little bit more knowledgeable than I am about governance procedures with Robert's Rules, but I think that we, in order to do that, I think we have to have a quorum. We have to have a meeting where we have a quorum, which will probably really highlights the necessity to try to have a meeting together when we're in Los Angeles.
Oh yeah, I would agree. Right. So maybe when she gets back on, we could talk about that.
Right, exactly.
In terms of the Section D,
Well, I just wanted to just add on something to what you were just saying, which I think is so important, because we as a society, in all of the existence of the governance of this country, have not been able to get issues or come anywhere close to getting issues pertaining to racism and other kinds of isms which oppress people. We seem to have a very, very bad time, a horrible track record with getting it right. So, and there are so many things to learn about this. So I see this, in my opinion, even with this code of conduct, and as we go, I see it kind of like as a working document. You know, it's not as a breathing, living document. Not necessarily just something that, okay, this is it, boom, 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 we've covered everything. We will probably have to, at some point, or I should say Pacifica, at times we'll need to revisit, I think. You know.
Yeah, I have no problems with that. Now, let me ask you, if there's going to be, of course, we need to, we will, even though it might be a working document, we still need it as, you know, guidelines.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So
framework.
Right.
And
well, you know,
I would suggest that included in there should be a provision that says that anti-racism. I don't know who that
is. Did somebody come on?
Yeah, this is Lisa. This is Sarv. I'm sorry.
Hello, Sarv.
How are you doing, Sarv?
I'm very fine. Yeah, you got stuck in the traffic jam.
We have a... When Lydia comes back.
When Lydia comes back, we will have a quorum. Because Lydia had to go off the call a minute. Okay. And so we're just having right now an informal discussion about the code of conduct. And what were you saying, Sarv? I mean, AC.
Well, what I was saw what we had talked about earlier was that Lydia had written an outline, some provisions that we had discussed before on the code of conduct to be sent to the governance committee. And I was suggesting that we send that recommendation, and Lisa proposed that it be viewed as a working document, a framework for a working document. And I had also suggested that included in that recommendation would be a permanent system of training on the issues of we would train in with consultant the groups in society. We could bring into a training mode that would help us understand what has been the precedent and the ongoing legal debates around these questions. And the questions even beyond legal, as long as they were training, that the network would train itself on both sexism and racism. That we'd make that a part of the mandatory recommendation that we send with respect to code of conduct. Where we are.
And I know in the... were you going to say something, Todd?
What I was going to say was that I totally agree with that, that there should be ongoing some kind of training. You know, every year we have new directors that come on board, and every 2-3 years we have a whole bunch of other LSB members on our stations. And I think that somehow we have to deal first with the Pacifica National Board itself, so that even though the newcomers are there, that everybody has to go through some kind of a training. And I'm not quite so sure how to go about structuring it, but I think we have to undertake something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, of course, the code of conduct is that's fine, and that's, you know, that have associated with it, a bunch of elements that say, well, you're not supposed to behave like this or this or that. And if you do that, then, you know, that's not a good thing for Pacifica, and Pacifica might take some action regarding that. But I think before we're going to get there, I think the training is a very, very important component, and I think we ought to really stress that. And and anytime any new directors come on board, you know, once a year, twice a year, we should have that training on the Pacifica National Board level, and some kind of a ongoing oversight, you know, whether it's our committee or all we want to do that, we, you know, kind of keep, stay vigilant that people, you know, that training is having its effect and that people are becoming sensitive to these issues and that they're, you know, there is some kind of change happening.
It's
go ahead.
Interesting thing about, because I know on the national board we have had some training or dialogue. I think we certainly have had more dialogue about this issue than at least I can say on the local station board level, which is important that it be taken up there as well. At least I'm speaking from where I am. And so when, as we talk about training, you know, board training, you know, we have to figure out a way to include the local station board members as part of that, as training for board people, you know, and provide and make sure that there's provisions in the budget. I like, you know, I agree with you, so I don't necessarily know how all of this will be done, but it certainly has to be looked at.
We're asking, this committee is recommending to the body that there be a system of training for the entire network. That includes the board as well as the LSP.
Yeah.
And we can figure out, you know, how to do that. And we might even raise recommendations on it because, and maybe what there ought to be is so many times a year, as Saab was pointing out, we need to, for example, identify maybe twice a year that this kind of training will take place. And I think that I think it should be mandatory attendance in the sense that, because the LSB is an organic part of the Pacifica Foundation, and so is the board, you know, and so is the affiliates who affiliate with this. So people ought to be, if they're going to be a part of us, then, you know, they are a part of the foundation. So we have to figure out, and maybe we don't have pat answers, but at least we could mandate it that it be at the minimum of twice a year that there be training, you know.
Okay, thank you.
Both on the board and the LSB levels.
You all just want to take a moment, please, to just take attendance again because we might have a quorum. I will start again. Lydia Bassan?
Here.
Bob Landauer?
Here.
A.C. Bird?
Here.
Lisa Davis? Here. Evelyn Bethune? Laurie Taguma? Well, people, we do have quorum. That means we can officially have a meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Just real briefly, the agenda has not changed that much from since we the last agenda we had. What I did do was some of the things that we did complete, I just removed that, but so it's the same. Does everybody have the agenda?
Not before me. Why don't you read it, Lisa?
Certainly, I'll read it. Okay, well, the first thing on the agenda, roll call, 5 minutes, we did that. Then number two, approval of agenda, 5 minutes. Number three, acceptance of minutes. I should also say I neglected to put the next, you know, pick out another meeting date, which should probably be on here. Then review suggestions for establishing a code of conduct, meaning, you know, including what you wrote, Lydia, what you wrote, the notes that you took about that, based upon our suggestions. And then number six would be and I suggested 30 minutes for the code of conduct to go over that again. And number six is considerations for establishing guidelines for the committee. And please note the following are only suggestions and are not inclusive of all the various issues. And A, what are the guidelines that the committee will follow? How will the committee utilize the foundation's legal counsel and available human resources to ensure a legal and sound operating structure? How will complaints be brought before the committee? How will investigations be conducted? One, will committee members on the National Board fly out to various areas to conduct investigations? Will investigations first be conducted on the LSB level, when and if complaints involve LSB board members? And how will the committee report out to the PNB? And these are just, concerns that other people presented to me. I just use this kind of like as a, you know, just as a rough guide to, for things to consider when we are, you know, establishing the role that the committee will follow. Okay, so we were having a discussion about the suggestion for establishing a code of conduct. And AC, because you were the one who sort of led off with that, do you want to start again just briefly with what you were saying?
Yeah, I was just saying that I thought that the report that Lydia gave, the outline of that report, sort of reflected things that we've been struggling with in Pacifica for quite some time, and I think it's remarkably brought together, and that we should consider those recommendations. The Lydia recommendations to be submitted to the Governance Committee. And with the added additions that we've been talking about, I think Lisa wanted to add this as a part of a working document we would submit to them for consideration, a part of a working document. And I think Bob and I was talking about the whole issue of training, that make that a component part of the consideration, that they would include training as a component part, a significant component part, in the sense that it would be training for the entire foundation. In other words, for the board, for the LSBs, and for the affiliates. So the question would be, the issue came up about how would this training be implemented. And so I had made a suggestion that possibly we could ask the committee, the governance committee, to mandate it at least twice a year. Training on racism and gender would be conducted at least a minimum of twice a year, and that it should be considered to be mandatory, so that would see it very seriously. So that's where we started.
Yeah, this is Lydia. Is there, I know, like with sexual harassment training, there are some very, very excellent online training mechanisms, which then when you make training mandatory, it's easy to do, because obviously, if you have a training session scheduled for a particular day and people, just because of life, can't make it, you know, this does away with that. And it's really good. It's like if you have to read it because you have to answer questions. So I think it's like when you take those online traffic school tests. If anyone had to do that, I just recently did it, so it's fresh in my mind. You can't really cheat on this stuff, right? You have to pay attention. And they have them for sexual harassment. I don't know if they have them for both, you know, racism and sexism. It would really be good if we could look into that, because in terms of unpaid staff, we cannot mandate the affiliates. They're their own separate entities to do it, but we could certainly have unpaid staff go through something like that. I think the cost to have all unpaid staff, which I know in L.A. our unpaid staff alone is at least 150 or close to 200 unpaid staff. And so with staff, it's well over 200 and people. And then if you add the board, you're getting starting to get close to 300. So it would be prohibitive to have an effective training class in person for everyone. So I think in-person training for the staff and board of each station and national board, and then for unpaid staff is to have some kind of an online training if it exists. I just don't know how else you're going to get any approval on budgeting for this.
And I just want to emphasize, especially for those people who are listening to the stream, although there might be some overlap, you might hear references to staff, but the guidelines of this board specifically refers to board members. So, but many times when we are
speaking, that's right,
there will be overlap, but you don't have any jurisdiction, so to speak, over
right, exactly.
Unpaid or not. So, just but like I said, we do not believe that we're going to have something so separate, you know, that the board job should operate from, that would conflict in any way with the Pacifica mission or the guidelines that should be recommended for the staff and people, you know, who work throughout Pacifica. So I just wanted to clear that up. So
do we want to move ahead with the language and add language to the motion? Well, you notice that I listed separately that issue that we had raised about not, you know, if it offends someone, that should be enough, right? But it stuck out. I incorporated it in the motion, and then it was the only thing of its kind in the motion. So I didn't know exactly where to put it, but I can stick it back in. It'll look a little odd unless we have a list of other things. But I thought maybe we could then just incorporate the language about the training in there.
Okay.
Lisa,
Bob, what were you saying?
I was going to ask Lydia if is that the motion that you sent at 1:25 p.m. on Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay.
That was, remember there was a motion that had been brought to us that I remember back in the day, I think it was Bob Letterer and Dan Coughlin and so forth had proposed some language. It might have just been Bob, but anyway, from some time ago. So that was forwarded to us at a time, and I was charged with taking out those things that were not specific to the board and specific to racism and sexism. So I took everything out, and we took out, remember, the Robert's Rules paragraph and all of that. And so this is what was left. That's all I did was take it out. And then separately, at the beginning of my email, I put that extra sentence, which we had always also discussed, which we could incorporate into this, as well as training. So that would be my amendment to the motion. As charge, which I didn't add anything to that motion. I simply subtracted what we deleted, what we had agreed to delete. And so what my amendment to the motion for today is formally to add the language that I had at the beginning of the email about if language is offensive to someone, I didn't put in the language offender, but the person who is speaking should simply apologize for it and not engage in bickering over the intent and so on and so forth. And then also add that we recommend that regular training on racism and sexism be a part of the calendar year, both for LSB, PMBs and LSB and its committee, LSBs.
Lisa?
Five? Okay.
Is it possible that we could say that at least twice a year? Did they get training?
Well, then we have to have a financial impact. I don't know that I don't know if we're prepared to do that.
I see. Okay. So
I mean, we could. It's not a big deal. What we haven't had is that discussion, which I suggest take place in executive session, is also of the level of groups that we have had, and we would have to also ask Lonnie how much each of these trainers have charged.
Well, there's another Lisa. Could I have a floor here for a second?
Sure. Go ahead.
You know, there was another interesting point AC has raised. Even though, you know, this training is primarily for Pacifica National Board members as well as the local station board members. AC raised the point that somehow, you know, we are getting more and more involved with affiliates, and at least some kind of a language that will make it clear that, you know, that these affiliates, they can take our programs and be part of us, but at least to some degree, they will have to embrace some of the Pacifica values, Pacifican values. And I don't know how to structure it, but, even though they're independent of us and they're doing their own thing and then they take our programs, but it seems like we're getting more and more involved with them and we want to get involved. That's fine. But I think we ought to make sure that they also embrace our values.
Yeah, and one of the reasons, the committee here, for that is because we got to remember that we've already bought the affiliates into the governance process. In other words, they vote.
Yeah.
Because they vote on all matters relating to Pacifica. Vote on that. And if they didn't vote, it would be a different story. But they do vote. And so I don't know how we word it either, but I do think that when they sign the contract to affiliates, they may be required to at least their representatives to attend those training sessions. I do think that they're, even though, you know, we meet several times a year, I think we can work out the question of the costs, because some of the training on the LSB level can be addressed by competent people who are in those cities. Like, for example, I'm sure that both San Francisco and Berkeley and L.A., and D.C. and New York, that's capable of giving information. For example, I was thinking of groups like the MALDA and groups like the Legal Defense Fund and other kinds of groups that would train us, and people like the ones that we utilize in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps they could be involved too. They have people all over the country.
Yeah.
Let me just, if I may interject here a moment. I think we're having two conversations that are a little separate, not necessarily the same, if I'm hearing this correctly, because the people who have been elected to represent their stations on the board who are part of the directors, if we are talking about board directors, I think that definitely training and all of that would apply to them. But there's a difference between saying, okay, well, this is what the affiliate stations have to do. So I think I'm hearing two separate things here. So when we are having training and code of conduct for directors who are sitting on the Pacifica National Board, I would think that would apply across the board for everyone who sits on the board. But what we can say to stations is a little different thing. So,
this is Lydia.
Yes.
Yes, I don't think we can work that into our motion at all. If the motion is what's on the floor, I had made two amendments to the motion, so I think we should try to focus on that for the moment. But also, in terms of the affiliates, I agree with Lisa. We were charged to just deal with conduct of board members, so of which the two affiliate members are members of the board, of course. But in terms of the conduct of or who our affiliates are, that's a larger question that needs to be addressed at a board level. I think given the fact that Ursula has a presentation, I believe it's Friday night, for like 45 minutes or something, that would be an appropriate time for this committee to ask Ursula what is the criteria for the affiliates and how much in line with our ideals are they expected to keep. How does she pick, in other words, affiliates to approach to try to bring them into the Pacifica family? I think that would be a good question, but I don't think that's the charge of this committee. But I would like us to get back to the amendment so that I can forward the motion to governance.
And just with that, I want to say, and I'm not opposed at all to adding this language, but I was just wondering, would language so specific be added to this motion? It seems to me like with the code of conduct that there might also at some point, it seems like you could pass, a code of conduct could be passed, and then there could also be like, I don't know.
Like the mission statement or something.
Right, or like a guideline or something that goes a little bit more in depth in terms of, you know, because I think something like this could even be good if it could be established. But like a guideline in terms of behavior that is considered offensive, you know, I'm being very, I'm just blanking out on a lot of things.
Well, that's what we have to decide. If we don't think that this is ready to go for code of conduct, if we want to be more specific, which my problem with the motion was that first line that I have that I did not include in the motion, which has to do with, you know, it should be enough if someone offends you for that person to say, I'm sorry, I don't understand why it was offensive, I didn't intend it, but it still offended you, I will try not to use that language again, that should be sufficient. That was out of character with the rest of the motion. And so I think that, Lisa, what you're saying is like a longer list of that point, like that's one issue, and we might have half a dozen things we want to add to it. So then may I recommend that we postpone this, and especially because I did get this out late to everyone, that we postpone it and include the specific examples of things that might be more helpful. Because I also think that when you're talking about racism and sexism, people don't get it unless you have the specific examples of what that means. Otherwise, it's just platitudes. It's just lovely language. But, you know, until you get into the specifics, which I think that what we wrote there, which we agreed on, which was that, you know, if someone offends you with language, then that should send a strong enough signal. So we should come up with other things like that.
Right. And then I guess my next question, again, would be, would that necessarily have to prevent us from saying, okay, we want a code of conduct to be established, you know, for the motion to get it established, but to also say that there will be recommendations and maybe we will establish, or we will work on establishing a guide that people can read about certain kinds of behavior that is maybe, that we might...
Well, the other thing is that tomorrow night, you know, I can certainly raise and say we're working on something.
Mm-hmm.
And on something that both lays out the intent on issues of racism and sexism, but that we're also going to get a little bit more specific about how those things become manifest and what we should do about them. Is that correct? Is that?
Oh, I'm a little bit confused. Are you saying?
We're all confused, I think.
Yes.
Go ahead, AC.
The question is, even though we may have to get an impact statement, is there any reason why the provisions that we talked about can't be added? For example, a training component of that, and whether we, the question of whether or not it's twice a year, it's going to be addressed. Whether or not it's just the board or the the LSVs, that can be addressed, and because of it.
Okay. Well, we could divide this motion. We could do the body of the motion that I cleaned up, right? And then just add to it that the committee also recommends to have regular trainings. And then the part that is specific, we'll leave that alone because we're going to send a laundry list later.
Right, so maybe we can say we'll do this and we...
Yeah, so I will revise my amendment to only include the body of the motion which I sent out, and additionally the language that says that... okay, well, then we have to decide. I don't think we should specify twice a year, but that it needs to be included yearly in its calendar, both for the PMB and the LSB. I think twice a year is a bit much. I don't think you're going to get that. I mean, we could try. I don't have an objection to it, but I just don't think it'll pass.
Because, I mean, it doesn't mean that every, I mean, it could be, for example, I can envision that the board would have the training, and if we were in an area like L.A., that the staff would come, and perhaps if we were in New York, or Washington, that the board again, and some of the staff could come. Now, if we wanted to have the LSBs conduct their own training in their own station areas, there's nothing wrong with that. They don't have to come into every meeting that we have, you know, on a national level. They could do it in-house right there, right in New York, right in Washington, right in Texas, so on. That's what I meant, sort of.
And in many cases, they could use the same trainers.
Yeah. They could, or they might be able to use a videotape. You know, if we video the meeting, for example, they could use that, you know. And some of the board members could try to conduct the training based on the training that we had using the video. In other words, we can get around the cost question. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, but you're not, how are you going to get the board to vote for it? I don't think you're going to get support beyond yearly, but
I think we ought to try, because obviously we need at least twice a year is even the minor amount of training, but I mean, it's, you know, that's what we can go for. If they say, if the board says once a year, then we'll have to go with that. But, I mean, at least I think we should ask for twice a year.
May I make a suggestion? I think maybe we can put something in about that there should be, that we strongly advise that there be a training component every year, you know, pertaining to these issues. And then we could always come back with something more specific, which I think that we should do. I really think that we should... You know, we should sit down, or that we should discuss this further. We should look into,
We can be non-specific, because that way, you know, it can be twice or three times or fragmented or whatever.
Righty.
So there should be a yearly component of training for the board.
Exactly.
Every year. Is that everybody okay with that language?
At least
you said
here.
The board. You mean the LSB as well?
Yeah, the board. Cause they
yeah, yes, the boards. Yeah.
You know, even
at least once a year.
Right, the national board and the local.
Yes, at least
board.
Once a year. That's good language.
Right, and then what we can do, because AC, your concerns are very legitimate. That gives us even something that we can work on in terms of looking into the various training programs that we have and anticipate the questions that are going to come up, because you know one of the things that will drive the concerns will be the cost, you know, and how.
Well, it's the cost, and it's also, I mean, my questions also more than the cost is the effectiveness. I've had one session of training on racism that I thought was effective here in L.A., and we've had 3 or 4 trainings here in L.A. Only one did I think was effective. At the PMB level, only one did I get anything out of that I thought was valuable. And the others I did not think were very good. And, you know, not only did we spend thousands, but more than that, it's the time wasted. So it takes a long time to find groups that and organizations and individuals that are really good, effective, and tailored for our specific needs. To me, that's a greater issue. But until we come prepared with recommendations.
Exactly.
And it's not just recommendations about money. It's recommendations about what it is we need, which, as I said, I'd like for us to have an executive session at our next meeting where we discuss those different groups and how we felt about the different trainers that we've had.
Exactly. And as part of the research for this, but I think that this is really important. And, you know, we should definitely be leading this, or take the lead of this, I should say. But in reviewing various materials that are out there, booklets, online training courses, and things of that nature, and also how do you evaluate the effectiveness of this? This is a relatively new field, as far as I'm concerned, about anti-racism training, and so how do we evaluate the effectiveness of this? But I think that's something that, like I said, we should take the lead in this research and in coming back with something that is well-researched and we consider the cost and all the other issues that were raised about the training and how to implement it.
But it, Lisa?
Yes?
Is there any person in Pacific that we know who has a kind of resource guide on this kind of a training? I'm sure we can go on the online and try to dig it up, but maybe somebody has.
Well, it always, I think it has to be by referral. And
yeah.
Because unless you have people who are, you know, one of us that have had experience with a particular trainer.
Right.
A group of trainers. Then you don't have a point of reference. You can't just
right.
do it cold. There are hundreds of them out
right.
there. And right. I and like I said, I think we've had one that was really effective and that I got something out from the PMB, and that's out of all of this time, including going back to before we formed the bylaws thing where we've had mediators as well.
Right.
And then I've had one good experience at the LSB level. And I've had a lot of bad ones, so that's why, and that's even with referrals. So, like I said, if we can discuss that portion in executive session, that would be useful, but I would like to see us, if we can, determine what we're sending to governance, because it's tomorrow night.
Right.
I don't expect governance to act on it tomorrow night, but I want it to be placed on as new business so they can carry it forward for their next meeting. So the basic motion plus the training at least yearly, at least once a year, right? And I'll rewrite that. And then the list of things that we consider to be more specific to code of conduct, we will continue to work on at our next meeting.
Exactly.
Is that correct? Does anyone have any disagreement with that?
No.
Oh, okay. I just caught the tail end. This is Evelyn. I apologize for being late. I'm just getting home from another meeting.
I am.
Yeah, I'm Lydia sort of explained that, so we appreciate that you're on this call, and we know that this was just an odd night that we took Wednesday because we are aware that you have difficulty meeting on Wednesday as well as myself, so but we wanted to get a meeting in before the National
uh-huh.
Board meeting.
No problem. I understand.
We thank you for joining. Okay, so Lydia, did you get a chance, Evelyn, to read? Because right now what we're going over, we're still discussing the code of conduct, the proposed, you know, our proposed suggestions for the code of conduct that we're going to...
Yes.
Right. Did you get a chance to read what Lydia had sent out?
Yes, I did.
Okay, great. Just to bring you up to speed, what we are basically saying that for the most part for the body, this, you know, this body right now has no problem with the body of what Lydia wrote, but if you will remember, she put in the first, she took out of the body and was asking how this should be done, but she talked about language that was very specific in terms of, like, if you inadvertently say something and you offend someone, whether you meant to or not, you should apologize for it. And then she was saying that this should also be a recommendation for training. And what we were discussing was that the body of the proposed language that Lydia used could go forward to the governance committee, and that there would be a recommendation, I think I'm getting this correctly, about that there also be training at least, what did we say, at least?
At least yearly.
Yeah, definitely annually.
Once a year, yeah.
At least once a year, with the suggestion that we will look into, we will take the lead in terms of looking into the various things or avenues that are available in terms of this kind of training, in terms of, I guess, various people or organizations who are doing this, various online manuals and things of that nature, and with a cost component. So it's cost and also effectiveness. How effective is this? And we had decided, because we could get into all kinds of things in terms of being very specific about language and things that might offend certain groups, that we should tell the governance committee that this is that part that we want to work on more. You know, we want to really, we would be presenting something, but we didn't want to hold up a code of conduct being passed. So that's
because we also
really
don't want it to get bogged down in governance.
Exactly.
And law.
So we want something that can be, and I personally think that in terms of issues pertaining to sensitivity issues, that could be a very, very, you know, very long list, something that I think is very worthwhile in terms of giving a little bit more research as well.
I think that training is a key component, and I'm very much in favor of that. And that it be extended, to all the LSBs as well as the PND.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. And we said we would even be specific and say the director, the national board, in addition to the local station board, the board members.
And of course, give the local station boards the ability to include management and staff.
Right. Well, we didn't get that specific yet. We're not opposed to that because we just didn't get that specific, because we know the more specific we get, the more we'll get into issues about cost and all of that.
Sure.
So
okay.
We wanted to have something. And
but on the other hand, I agree that when we say training, it should include all the elements in Pacific, the management as well as, you know, we've had a management training once before, and I think that it's very important that takes place, because otherwise you're leaving a whole segment out of it, out of the training. And from what I can gather from people on the board and elsewhere, there's a lot of complaints coming from the local LSB and to some degree even the board on whether the management is in compliance. So it seems to me that we would consider management. And
my concern is that if we just say LSBs and PND, that there might be the ability of LSBs to say, well, it didn't specify management, so we don't think we can include management and staff. And just to leave, you know, to make sure that we mention that, you know, they have the ability to include management and staff, not forcing them to do it, but making it clear that should be a part of it.
This is Lydia.
Yes, okay, Lydia.
Yeah, since we were charged to just address the boards, I think that's an amendment that we would make once it gets to the PMB. That's just my feeling. I think that would be the most appropriate. I don't want the charge to be that we didn't stick to our narrow charge and start veering off into, you know, whatever training management.
I'm not saying that we mandate that
I know.
Staff and management be included. many of the issues that we have to deal with on a regular basis in terms of lawsuits stem from lack of training of management in dealing with some of the very pressing issues that present themselves. And I really, you know, I'm getting tired of us getting sued about stuff that shouldn't go that far.
And I really need some training. Yeah, I agree, and I think the PMB can mandate that. I just don't think this committee can. That's just my feeling.
And I just want to, if I just may, because there are so many, you know, things that goes on in terms of the lawsuits and stuff like that. So I just didn't want to be left as lack of training, although I'm not saying that. I understand everything you're saying, Evelyn. I'm not saying that you're.
Oh, I don't think it's just lack of training.
No, but right. So I just wanted to say, because I hear what you're saying, but I just wanted to say that for the, there are many things involved. But what we're talking about is making everybody sensitive, because this is something that society as a whole needs to really work on. But what we can do in terms of Pacifica National Board to make sure that we are all fulfilling our mission, not just in terms of what goes out over those airwaves, but what goes on within the foundation itself.
Sure.
And we are charged with that of the board, but also we were also talking about that we realize that there will be overlap. You know, this is about tightening up, making a foundation really good, and doing it from the board. So there will be overlap. And I hear Lydia's concern because our charge is with the board. But so we can definitely nothing stops us from making other recommendations at all. And maybe when we have the time, I would like to suggest that when we have the time to really look, because we're just going to put something very general about training, but we can certainly look at that and even, you know, work with the governance committee and all of that and other people in terms of the kinds of training and how can we really make this foundation in every way be the mission and be that beacon of light or whatever, you know.
That is pitch black.
Exactly.
Yep.
I wanted to say something about this. Yeah. I think, can we agree? Lydia mentioned that we could, that conversation ought to take place in the, on the PNB. Well, I don't mind doing that, but I would like to have some agreement that we will try and put it forward to the...
I'm in full agreement with that, and I'll support bringing that discussion forward.
So could we at least agree with that and, you know, bringing it forward?
Well, we have to. The point is we're only advisory, as is the governance committee. So all we're saying to the governance committee is when you develop your code of conduct, factor in the specificity of racism and sexism rather than just people are acting out at a meeting or something. And so that's what, you know, the thrust of this motion is. And include in there that part of the problems in terms of misconduct have to do with the lack of training. So we are asking that yearly trainings be mandated. And since we're charged for boards, then the motion, the code of conduct, is going to come to before the PMB. At that point is when we will move ahead and make the amendment that this should include staff or whatever. I think that that's the proper way to do it, just because of our narrow charge.
Exactly, just to reset.